line workers and electricians, laying transmission lines for a modern grid, providing over 500,000 charging stations on the highways we are going to build to accommodate electric vehicles so we can own the future.
The president wants to spend $174 billion on electric vehicle infrastructure. Nora Naughton is watching. She covers the auto industry for the Wall Street Journal. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You know, this push for electric vehicles isn't just coming from the government. A lot of the big automakers have also announced their plans for electric cars. So put this pledge from Biden into context. What does it mean for the industry?
Yeah, so actually this shift has sort of been a long time coming, and it's partially because you cannot engineer these vehicles overnight. They're very complex. But largely it's because this is such a globalized industry now, and other countries like China and Europe have already introduced more stringent emissions regulations that the companies have to adhere to. And what this means now in the U.S. is that the auto industry finally has to commit these vehicles to the American market, which has always been more unique. We like big trucks, SUVs. These require bigger, more expensive batteries. And so that's why you start to see this push from the automakers here to give us not the Chevy Bolt, not the Prius, but, you know, something that looks more like the gas-powered cars that Americans already eat up, like an electric Silverado or an F-150.
So what's the state of that effort? You know, because really, if you look at the numbers, I think 1% of vehicles on the road today in the United States are electric. It's niche, right?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And some of that is there hasn't been a big commitment by the car companies to sell these in the U.S. yet because they just don't make money on them. But, you know, the other thing that's holding it back is something that's a little bit more out of the auto industry's control, which is the infrastructure, you know, places to fuel these cars. The car companies have figured out this big engineering riddle of building a battery that can last you just about as many miles as a full tank of gas. But then when you have to recharge that battery, it's not quite as simple as filling up your tank.
Right. So, you know, it's what you're getting at is exactly what the Biden administration is trying to do with this infrastructure bill. It's got grants, loans, tax credits to encourage exactly what you're talking about there. Is that going to do it? What do you think of those proposals?
I think it's a really complicated problem to solve. So what a lot of EV owners have today are, you know, they've completely changed the infrastructure of their homes. You know, they install charging stations in their garage or in their driveway, and you charge overnight. Being on a road trip and like stopping for 10 minutes to refill your tank is just not how it works in an electric car. I mean, I took a road trip.
How long does it take?
Oh, it can take a long time. I took a road trip in a Chevy Bolt 2 winters ago before the pandemic, and there were times where I was sitting at a charger for hours, like 4 hours.
Wow. Okay, that's going to be a challenge, right? And so is price. Price is going to be a major challenge. At what point will it be that an electric vehicle is competitive with a gas-powered car? Because that nothing's going to change until that happens.
Sure, price is a big issue, but that is a little bit of a loaded question because even gas-powered cars are getting super expensive right now. That's not to say that the car companies aren't trying to bring down the cost of electric cars. But like GM, for example, says they're aiming to reduce battery cell costs to under $100 per kilowatt hour, which is sort of like miles per gallon, by 2025. And that would compare with the $150 per kilowatt hour that they have on their batteries today. So there is a push to bring down these costs, but overall in the industry, cars are just getting more expensive because these gas-powered cars that are already on the road are loaded with a lot of the tech that the EVs have, just with a gas-powered engine.
Well, and the companies will say over the course of time, those electric vehicles are going to be cheaper to maintain. So it's hard. You got to do the calculation. Now, we've been talking about electric cars for many, many years, and we don't know what parts of Biden's proposal are going to make it into law. But do you think it signals a turning point for EVs in this country, or are we just going to be having the same conversation here 5 years from now?
The announcements from the Biden administration are sort of definitely a turning point, but almost like a period at the end of the sentence in this turning point. This is a direction that the auto industry has been going in for the better part of a decade now. And we're really, for the last 4 years, sort of waiting for the shoe to drop on emissions regulations. The Trump administration was very wishy-washy on what they wanted to do. And all the car companies have been asking for in the American market is a direction to run in. And now they have one. And so I think you'll start to see, you know, all of these sort of promises are going to start to come to fruition because they have, you know, a commitment from the government to support them in this shift.
Until there's a new government. That's Nora Naughton. She's a reporter for the Wall Street Journal. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
As we heard, President Biden's plan promises to install 500,000 vehicle charging stations before the end of the decade, up from about 100,000 in use now. And that's probably going to be good for businesses like Jonathan Levy's. He's an executive at EVgo, an LA-based electric vehicle charging company. Jonathan, welcome to you.
Thanks, Peter.
And we just heard our reporter from the Wall Street Journal say that charging an electric car that she took on a road trip a couple years ago took several hours. Have we advanced from that point yet?
So a lot has changed in the last couple of years, and a lot is going to continue to change in electric vehicles. So just in the last 2 years, we've seen a shift where before, you know, 50 kW was kind of the peak for fast charging for a lot of the vehicles. Now with the Hyundai Kona, the Kia Niro, obviously the Tesla Model 3, but also the new vehicles coming out for the next generation, even the new Nissan Leaf Plus, the Ford Mach-E, the Hyundai Ioniq 5, those can charge at higher power rates. And so as a result, you can cut down that time.
I think your industry is all about ramping up. So how many charging stations have you built recently and where are they?
EVgo today has more fast charging locations than any other public charging network. We have more than 800 locations across 34 states, 67 metropolitan markets. And obviously, we're not the only ones out there. But 130 million Americans are within a 10-mile drive of an EVgo fast charger today. And given that the bulk of the charging activity today is happening in California, it's not surprising that that's where the bulk of our installations and throughput are. But we're building everywhere. We're building in Virginia. We're building in Florida, Illinois, all sorts of places.
Well, and you've got to if this is going to work. And President Biden seems to know this, too. He's calling for at least 500,000 EV chargers in the United States by 2030. Is it your understanding that companies like yours will be getting money from the government under this plan if it passes to build this infrastructure?
The American Jobs Plan has a lot of great what we call policy tailwinds, which is something we've seen happening at the state and local level for a long time, and the federal government taking a leadership role is a great thing. We often hear people complaining about the chicken and the egg problem when it comes to charging and EVs. We don't believe that's actually the apt metaphor, right? Chicken and the egg implies you're starting from scratch. We don't need to know what goes first because we have a base of charging. We have great EV models that are here. What we need now is peanut butter and jelly. We need complementary policies and complementary investments. You want the charging out there to enable adoption, and then you want enough vehicles using the charging to have a virtuous cycle of investment so that you generate revenue to reinvest and build more charging and continue to expand. If we can get more people behind the wheel, we know that they love it. There are very few of what I call EV recidivists, people who drive an EV and want to go back because the acceleration is better, the ride is smoother, it's quieter, it's cleaner. It's just a better way to drive. And so we have to do the education, we have to do the infrastructure build out, we have to get the incentives for adoption, and we have to get the marketing out there so that everybody knows, wow, there are really great cars and they're available today.
Well, speaking of incentives, you're a private company. Make the case why you and other businesses should get federal money to do this work. I mean, it's interesting because we're talking about the Biden administration saying they want to eliminate subsidies for the oil and gas industry.
Yeah, well, and I don't think you're asking me to defend the decades of subsidies for oil and gas and contrast them with the recent subsidies, but we're talking about...
No, but subsidies I am talking about, yeah, writ large.
Sure. There is obviously, though, a stark difference between legacy incumbent industries that have been receiving and continue to receive accelerated depreciation and other incentives, and new emerging technologies that are helping internalize the externalities of climate in addition to providing the other public services. And I think at its core, though, Peter, it does take time to ramp, and we're at the early days of it. We know that we have to build out that infrastructure in tandem with the vehicle adoption, and we know that policy is really critical for the early parts of the industry to make sure we can get to the next level.
Jonathan Levy is Chief Commercial Officer of the EV charging company EVgo. Jonathan, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Peter.